Welcome back to the Deep Dive. It is Friday, February 20th, 2026, and today we're tackling a very specific kind of New York torture. You know the one.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly the one you mean. The classic house, rich, cash, poor paradox.
Right, exactly. It's that feeling where you're sitting in a brownstone in Brooklyn or maybe a beautiful colonial in Westchester, and on paper you are technically a millionaire.
Sometimes $2 or $3 million, depending on the neighborhood.
Easily. But you were sitting at your gorgeous kitchen table eating generic brand mac and cheese because you can barely afford the property taxes.
It is the defining financial anxiety for a massive chunk of New York homeowners right now. You have this absolute mountain of wealth locked in the sheetrock and the floorboards, but you can't exactly break off a piece of the siding to go pay for your prescription meds or vacation.
Exactly. You cannot pay for groceries with a brick from the front stoop. So today we are doing a serious unpack of a tool designed to solve exactly that problem. We're talking about the New York reverse mortgage. And before you roll your eyes and say, oh, that's just a scam for desperation cases, just stick with me.
Yeah, stick with us because the math here is actually fascinating.
Right. We are looking at a really comprehensive guide from Jet Direct Mortgage today. Specifically, we're looking at their breakdown for New York City, Long Island, and upstate communities. And honestly, it's a lot more strategic than I expected.
It really is. And I'm glad we have the Jet Direct guide as our source because, as we always say, New York real estate is just a completely different animal from the rest of the country.
Mm-hmm.
A reverse mortgage in Omaha looks very different from one in Massapequa.
Oh, for sure. The stakes are higher here, the values are higher, and the complication, I mean, things like co-ops and condos, they are a nightmare if you don't know what you're doing.
An absolute nightmare. Which is why understanding the mechanics is so crucial.
So let's start with the basics, but I want to get past the brochure definition.
Yeah.
Everyone knows the tagline, right? No monthly mortgage payments. But come on, banks aren't charities. Yeah. How does this actually work mechanically? If I'm not paying them, how are they making money?
That is the exact right question to ask. We really need to move past the free money idea. So here's the mechanics of it. In a traditional mortgage, you pay the bank every month to lower your debt.
Right, you chip away at it.
Exactly. But in a reverse mortgage, the bank advances you money based on your equity, and you don't pay it back monthly. However, interest is still accruing.
Okay, so the meter is still running.
The meter is absolutely running.
Yeah.
And because you aren't paying that interest monthly, it gets added to the loan balance. This is what's called negative amortization.
Negative amortization. Okay, break that down for me.
Sure. So if you borrow $100,000 today, in a year, you might owe $105,000, depending on the rates, of course.
Yeah.
And the next year, even more. You are essentially eating your equity from the inside out.
Eating your equity. Wow, that is a vivid image. So the debt grows over time, and your ownership percentage, or rather the equity you have left, shrinks.
Precisely. The bet you are making is that the value of the home and the utility of having that cash now is worth more to you than preserving that full 100% equity for, say, 20 years down the road.
It's a utilization strategy, not an accumulation strategy.
That's a great way to put it. It's about using what you have.
Okay, so it's a trade-off. You get cash flow, you lose some equity growth. But let's talk about the no payments thing. Does that mean I can just live there for free, like completely off the hook?
Absolutely not. And this is where people get into serious trouble. The source from Jet Direct is incredibly explicit about this. You are still the homeowner. The bank does not own the house.
They just have a lien on it, right?
Right, just a lien. That means you, the homeowner, are still responsible for the big three.
The big three, what are we talking about here?
Property taxes, homeowners insurance, and maintenance.
Right. The tax man still cometh.
He always cometh. And in New York, where property taxes can easily be $15,000, $20,000, or $30,000 a year, this is not a small detail.
Yeah, that's practically a salary in some states.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And if you stop paying your property taxes, or if you let your insurance lapse, the lender can and will call the loan due, you can actually face foreclosure for not paying taxes, even if you technically don't owe a monthly mortgage payment.
So it's not a set it and forget it vacation. You still have to be a responsible adult.
Correct. You have to maintain the property, and you have to actually live there. It must be your primary residence.
So I can't take the money move to a condo in Boca Raton and rent out the New York house.
No, you cannot. The moment you move out for more than 12 consecutive months, usually for medical reasons or otherwise, the loan becomes due.
Okay, those are the guardrails. Now, I want to get into the meat of this specifically for our New York listeners, because when I was reading through the Jet Direct guide, I saw this major distinction between HECM, and proprietary loans. And usually my eyes just glaze over at financial acronyms, but this seems like it actually really matters for anyone living in a high-value area.
It matters immensely. In fact, if you own a home in New York City, Long Island, or Westchester, this distinction is probably the most important part of this entire conversation today.
All right, break it down for us. What is a HECM?
HECM stands for Home Equity Conversion Mortgage. This is the federal program. It's insured by the FHA and regulated by HUD. It's the standard vanilla option that probably 90% of the country uses.
Safe, standardized, government-backed. Sounds great. What's the problem?
The problem is the cap. The federal government sets a national lending limit. As of the time of this recording, let's say it's hovering around that $1.1 or $1.2 million mark, adjusting for 2026 inflation.
Which sounds like a massive amount of money to most of the country.
Right. But if you're in a brownstone in Park Slope...
Oh, yeah. That barely buys you a one-bedroom in some neighborhoods.
Exactly. Let's run a scenario so this makes sense. Let's say you are Bob. You live in a beautiful home in Garden City or maybe Rye, and it's appraised at $2.5 million. And you have zero mortgage. You own it free and clear.
Okay, so Bob is sitting on $2.5 million of wealth. Good for Bob.
Good for Bob, right. But if Bob goes for the federal HECM, the government basically puts blinders on. They only see the value up to that federal limit. It's called $1.1 million.
Wait, so they just ignore the rest?
They ignore the other $1.4 million completely. So Bob can only borrow against less than half of his home's actual value.
So he's leaving well over $1 million of equity completely inaccessible. It's just dead capital.
Correct. The HECM just doesn't scale for luxury real estate. It's designed for the average American home, not the New York outlier.
And this is where the proprietary or jumbo loan comes in?
Exactly. JetDirect highlights these proprietary reverse mortgages specifically for this jumbo market. These are private loans. They aren't federally insured.
Which sounds a little scary, honestly. Private loans.
It sounds scary, but it actually allows the lender to make their own rules regarding loan limits.
So in Bob's case, what does that look like?
With a jumbo reverse mortgage, the lender looks at the full $2.5 million value. They can offer him a loan based on that total amount. He could potentially access hundreds of thousands of dollars more than he could with a federal option.
That is a massive difference. We're talking about the difference between just keeping the lights on and actually having a very comfortable retirement.
Right. And the source notes that while these are private loans, they aren't the Wild West. New York law is notoriously strict. There are still heavy consumer protections in place.
But there's a trade-off, I assume.
Always. The trade-off is usually a slightly higher interest rate compared to the federal loan in exchange for accessing that massive pool of extra equity.
Okay, so if you're house rich in the true New York sense, a multi-million dollar property, you almost have to look at the jumbo option. But what if you're upstate?
If you're in Buffalo, Rochester, or a more modest suburb where your home is worth, say, $400,000 or $500,000, the federal HECM is perfect.
Because you aren't hitting the cap anyway.
Exactly. It's likely the better deal because the FHA insurance premiums protect you. And you don't need the jumbo product at all.
So it's really a tale of two markets within one state. Now I want to pivot to something that makes New York uniquely frustrating. Co-ops.
Oh, boy. The co-op.
Oh.
The unique headache of New York City living.
The source material was pretty blunt about this. It basically said co-ops are difficult. Why? If I own a co-op on the Upper West Side worth $2 million, why can't I get a reverse mortgage easily?
This is a real deep dive nugget right here. It all comes down to what you actually own. In a single family house or even a condo, you own real property. You own the deed.
Right, it's mine.
But in a co-op, you do not own real estate. You own shares in a corporation that owns the building, and you have what's called a proprietary lease for your specific unit.
So the banks are basically being asked to lend against stock certificates.
Essentially, yes. And historically, the federal HECM program does not accept co-op shares as collateral. Mm-hmm. They just won't do it.
Wow. So if you're in a co-op, you're just locked out of the federal program entirely?
For the most part, yes. Now, there have been proprietary private loans that popped up over the years trying to serve the co-op market. But they are rare, and the guidelines are very strict. And here's the other massive hurdle, the co-op board.
Oh, the dreaded board. I should have known they'd be involved.
They are always involved. Even if you find a willing lender, the co-op board has to approve the recognition agreement. And many boards absolutely hate reverse mortgages.
Why do they care where the money comes from?
Because they are terrified of what happens if the owner dies or defaults. They don't want to get tangled up in a messy foreclosure process with a lender. They want simple, clean cash transactions.
So if you're in a co-op, you are fighting a battle on two fronts. You have to find a rare, willing lender, and then you have to convince a stubborn board.
Correct. It is not impossible, but it is a steep uphill climb. Condos are slightly easier, but even they have to be on a HUD-approved list or meet specific strict criteria.
So basically, if you are in a single-family home, whether that's in Queen Staten Island or out in the suburbs, you have the easiest path by far.
Without a doubt. Single-family homes are the cleanest transactions in this space.
That is really crucial expectation setting. Okay, let's talk about the human side of this process. Let's say I've done the math. I own a single-family home in Bohemia, and I want to proceed. The source mentions a step called counseling.
Yes, mandatory counseling.
And honestly, when I first read that, it felt a bit paternalistic. Like, are you sure, sweetie? Do you really know what you're doing?
I completely see why it feels that way on the surface. But honestly, it is the most important consumer protection in the entire industry. Mm-hmm. It is not just a check-the-box step. You are required by law to sit down with an independent third-party counselor.
Independent meaning this isn't someone from Jet Direct holding my hand through it.
No, absolutely not. This person cannot be affiliated with the lender in any way. They won't get a commission if you sign. Their only job is to grill you.
Grill you how?
They will ask you point blank, do you understand that your equity is decreasing? Do you understand the tax and insurance obligations? Have you considered selling the house and downsizing instead?
It's basically financial therapy.
It is. And it prevents the kind of horror stories we used to hear 20 years ago. You know, the predatory lender pressuring an 80-year-old widow into signing papers she didn't fully understand. The counselor is the firewall.
So if you don't pass counseling, if they think you don't grasp the risks, you don't get the loan.
Period. The process stops right there.
I actually love that. It adds friction to the process, but it's good friction.
Exactly. It ensures absolute informed consent.
Let's talk about the provider for a second. We're using Jet Direct Mortgage as our primary source here today. And they list Peter Pescatore as their COO. The guide makes a really big deal about him being a direct endorsement underwriter.
Yes, it does.
Is that just fancy resume padding, or does it actually mean something tangible for the borrower?
It actually means something huge for the speed and the certainty of the process. In the typical mortgage world, usually the person you talk to is just the sales rep.
Right. They take your info, they smile, and then what?
And then they send your file off to a mysterious underwriting department somewhere in a basement in another state.
The black box of rejection.
Right. You wait weeks to hear back. But a direct endorsement underwriter is the person who actually has the authority to sign off on the federal guarantee. They are the ultimate decision maker.
So having that expertise in-house at the executive level changes the game.
It means they aren't guessing if a loan will be approved. They know the guidelines inside and out.
And since they are based right in Bohemia, New York, I assume they actually know the difference between a condo and a co-op, unlike, say, a call center in Nebraska.
Precisely. Local knowledge in New York real estate is non-negotiable. You need someone who understands that a certificate of occupancy issue in Babylon is totally different from a zoning issue in the Bronx.
Okay, let's tackle the biggest fear. The ultimate ghost story of reverse mortgages. The bank will steal my house and my kids will get nothing.
Yes. This is without a doubt the number one objection.
Walk me through the reality of this. I die. I have a reverse mortgage. What happens to my kids?
Okay, let's just do the math. Let's say your house is worth $1 million. You took out a reverse mortgage, and over the years, the balance, meaning the money you borrowed plus the interest, has grown to $500,000.
Okay, I'm with you.
You pass away. The loan becomes due. Your heirs get a letter from the servicer. They have a choice right then and there.
What's the first option?
They can keep the house. But they have to pay off that $500,000 loan balance. They can do that by refinancing it into a regular traditional mortgage in their own name or using other funds from the estate.
So they absolutely can keep the house if they want to. The bank doesn't just automatically take it.
Yes. The bank does not want the house. The bank just wants the $500,000 they are owed.
Okay, what's option B?
Option B is they sell the house. They put it on the market. They sell it for the market value of $1 million. They pay the bank the $500,000 owed. And this is the part people always miss. The remaining $500,000 goes to the heirs.
So the bank doesn't just snatch the whole asset?
No, never. The bank is only entitled to the outstanding loan balance. The remaining equity belongs entirely to the estate.
Now let me play devil's advocate for a second. What if the market crashes? What if I live to be 110 years old? I've used up all the equity, and the loan balances say $1.2 million, but the house is only worth $1 million.
This is where the non-recourse feature comes in, and it's the safety net of all safety nets. If the loan balance is higher than the home value point, the heirs are not personally liable for the difference.
Wait, say that again? They aren't liable.
They're not liable. They can simply hand the keys to the lender and walk away. The FHA insurance fund for the federal HECMs eats the loss. Your kids do not owe a single dime.
That is incredible. So the absolute worst case scenario for the heirs is essentially zero inheritance from the house, but zero debt passed on to them.
Exactly. It puts a hard floor on the risk.
That clarifies so much. So practically speaking, what are New Yorkers actually using this money for in 2026? The source lists a few things, but what's the reality on the ground?
The reality right now is inflation survival. We are seeing a lot of people use it to pay off existing credit card debt, which carries a much, much higher interest rate.
Makes sense.
We also see them using it to pay those massive property taxes we talked about earlier. But I'd say the most strategic use we're seeing is aging in place.
You mean like home modification?
Yes. If you want to stay in your home until you're 90, you might need a walk-in shower. You might need a stair lift. You might need to completely renovate the first floor so you can live on one level.
And that's not cheap. That's easily 50 or 100 grand.
Right. So the reverse mortgage provides the capital to make the house livable for your aging self without having to drain your retirement accounts.
So you're basically using the house's value to adapt the house to your physical needs. It's like a closed loop.
It really is. And honestly, we are also seeing a big rise in what's called the warm hand inheritance.
The warm hand inheritance. What is that?
Instead of waiting until you pass away to leave your kids money, you take some equity out now to help them buy their own house or maybe pay for the grandkids' college tuition. You actually get to see the benefit of your wealth while you are still alive.
I really like that concept. It's active wealth management rather than just passive hoarding.
It is. Huh. But again, the skeptic in me has to remind everyone listening, you are reducing the final pot. If you spend it now, it is not there later.
There is no free lunch in finance.
Never.
So if we zoom out and look at the big picture, this feels like a tool for a very specific type of person.
It is. It is for the person who truly loves their home, who has deep roots in their community. Their doctors are there, their friends are there, their memories are there. But they feel financially strangled by the sheer cost of living in New York.
Right. So if you're planning to move to Florida in 2 years, definitely don't do this.
No. The closing costs are generally too high for a short-term play. This is a long-term commitment to staying put.
And it's for the person who is comfortable with the math of consuming their house.
Spending the house to live in the house.
Yeah.
That is the mantra.
Spending the house to live in the house. That's a powerful reframing.
Well, this has been a really enlightening look at something I think most of us completely misunderstood. If you are listening and you want to actually see the numbers for your specific situation, because remember that appraisal and that age calculation are everything, you can check out the source directly, Jet Direct Mortgage. Their site is jetdirectmortgage.com.
And if you want to talk to a human, which for something this complex, you really, really should, their number is 1-800-700-4JET. That's 4538.
It is at least worth running the scenario. Even if you ultimately decide, no way I want to leave every single penny to my kids, at least you made that decision with the full data right in front of you.
Exactly. Knowledge is the only asset that doesn't depreciate. I love that. Before we wrap up, I want to leave you with a final thought to chew on. We spend 30 years grinding to pay off a mortgage. We stress, we save, we sacrifice to finally own the home free and clear. But if you reach the finish line and that home is worth $2 million, but you are stressing about paying the electric bill every month, you have to ask yourself a hard question.
Is the house serving you or are you serving the house?
Legacy isn't just about what you leave behind in a will. It's about the quality of the life you live right now. Maybe the house owes you a paycheck for a change.
That is definitely a thought worth sitting with.
Thanks for diving deep with us today. We'll catch you on the next one.
Take care.